let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word, as we do every time I preach, as we do every Wednesday, as by the grace of God I will continue to preach in your hearing how to have confidence in prayer, part 16, praying through the Bible, message number 440 in this long but wonderful, meaningful, powerful series. How to have confidence in prayer, or how to have confidence when you pray. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I want you to notice the pronouns. Him, His, and He. It's all about God. When it comes down to prayer, it's all about God. It's all about Him. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, we thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and for all of the many and millions and manifold blessings you bestow upon us, and that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for those of us who have it. We praise you and we thank you for your favor. Lord, a tremendous blessing to have in this thing called life. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. If anybody among us has grieved or is grieving or quenching your Holy Spirit, for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins. Wash and cleanse our hearts and minds and souls and spirits and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. Crucify everything in us that is not like you. And fill us, Lord, with everything that is like you. Fill us with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. For, Lord, without you, nothing worthwhile is going to come out of this at all. For we are reminded from your holy word, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I pray once again that you would get us out of the way and, Lord, take over, demonstrate the power of your Holy Ghost, your unction and your anointing, and say what you want said. And, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would drive out every cursed spirit, every ancestral cursed spirit, every demonic spirit of Judas, every demonic spirit of Jezebel, every demonic spirit of Sanballat, every demonic spirit of Tobias, the demonic spirits of hindrance and distraction, the demonic spirits of treachery and pride, stubbornness and rebelliousness and hatred, the demonic spirit of betrayal and sabotage, drive it out of the hearts and minds and lives of people here and people out there, that everything, Lord, that you want done will be done decently and in order. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that by the power of your Holy Ghost, lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, in Jesus Christ exalted. Please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. And Lord, from this place and from your people and from their minds, not only during this service, but even after the service, for sometimes he'll strike in the afterglow. And we pray that you'll help all of us, not just me, but all of us, to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And Lord, thank you for what has been accomplished today. We have a whole lot more to accomplish today. Help us to fill each day jam-packed with what we can do for your kingdom, your glory, your praise, and honor, and to advance in life and to help others to do the same. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are just gathering on and you did not hear me, because I had the mic off, I'm preaching in your hearing how to have confidence in prayer, part 16. Praying through the Bible, a message number 440 in this series. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Brian Chappell said, proper prayer must put more trust in God's will than in human wants. Otherwise, failure to get the things we want will force us to doubt either the power of prayer or the ability of God to answer prayer. And that's not what we want. In our last few messages in this series that we added on to the initial series, which we have never done before because it was the passages of scripture matched up so well, even though they were not connected. We have been looking at some background knowledge and information regarding this passage. In this message, we are going to continue looking at what John has to say about having confidence in prayer, having confidence when you pray. And how to pray also for fellow Christians who are in sin. And we will, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we're going to talk more about that latter part next week. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, the pages of the Bible and the pages of history are filled with reports of answered prayer. Prayer is not spiritual self-hypnosis, as some people seem to think. Nor do we pray because it makes us necessarily feel better. Now, if you do pray on a regular basis, you should feel better about your life. It's kind of like exercise. I cannot recall feeling like exercising. I love having exercise because I do feel better. I may not feel like praying, but after I pray and God comes alongside me on deep down on the inside and helps me to pray, I love having prayed, because oftentimes you do get a lift. But that's not why we pray. We pray because God has commanded us to pray. It's not subjective, as I say every week in our podcast on prayer, the Prayer Motivator Devotional in the Prayer Motivator Minute. It's not, prayer is not subjective, it is objective, based upon the Word of God, what God told us to do, and what God said about prayer. And so you don't need to get caught up in your emotions about prayer. And that's one of the reasons why I believe God led me to start those podcasts and to start this series. It's not, some of us, we have to always feel something. We want to get caught up in our emotions about prayer. We want to feel something so bad, as I have told you in the past, we want to gyrate and move and squeeze people's hands and all of that, and you know, make it an emotional, physical thing, and you can do that if you want to do that, but that's not going to get your prayers answered any faster. There's no evidence of Jesus ever doing that when he prayed, and he prayed more than all of us combined, it seemed. And he's God. You can pray a simple 1 minute prayer and change the world, because you're praying to the God who can change the world, the Almighty God. It's not about your feelings or your emotions or your gyrating or jumping up and down and squeezing people's hands off while you're praying and all of that. That's more, in many cases, I believe that's more about you than God at all, in the first place. But you can do that if that's what you want. I was raised in that tradition, and that's what it is. The people got to conjure up something. They got to come into the services and get things going before they feel like they're getting close to God, and that's just not necessary. It's just you can talk to God just like you would talk calmly to a family member. We pray, ladies and gentlemen, because God has commanded us to pray, and because prayer is the God-appointed way for a believer to receive what God wants to give him according to God's will. And not only that, we pray because we need to pray in this life. If you are not praying right now, you're playing, and you're not going to make it, because things are changing rapidly. Things are getting worse and worse, and you can't just keep calling for somebody to pray for you. What I'm trying to help you to do is to develop a personal relationship with God yourself through Christ, and that you pray for yourself and become a person who prays for others. You need to stop wearing out the pastor and stop wearing out the other ministers in the church and everybody else because you feel like you're sinking. You're sinking because you're not praying for yourself and you're not praying for others. And one of the reasons why I emphasize this is not an emotional thing. This is not a subjective thing based upon how you feel, because in most cases you're not going to feel like praying. Sometimes when you pray, depending upon your age in the Lord, you may not feel anything, and you may not even feel like your prayers got through. You can't go by that. For we walk by faith and not by sight. People complain all the time, well, I just don't feel anything at that church. I don't feel anything when I pray. I don't feel. That's not about feeling. It's not about feeling. May I say to you, you need to walk by faith and not by feeling. That's connected to sight, by the way. You have to trust in God. And you can have confidence in your prayers if you do it God's way. And in this passage you are seeing, as I read it every week, and we have not really dealt with the latter part thoroughly. We touched on it already a little bit. But God is trying to get across to you that if you want your prayers to be answered, you must pray in my will, and you must make sure that you're coming to me with clean hands and a clean heart, because I'm not going to hear or answer your prayers otherwise. Well, I thought God was the God of grace and love and mercy. He is. So much so, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on a cruel cross, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. But just remember why Jesus went through hell and to hell. For you. Because of your sin. So it is not logical for you to think that you can come to God, listen to me very well, knowing that you're living in sin. Knowing that you have not confessed sins in the past, you have not repented of sins, you have not turned away from your sins, and now you're coming to God in Jesus' name, wanting God to hear and answer your prayers while you're living in sin. That's not happening. I don't care what kind of tradition you come out of, charismatic, Pentecostal, prosperity garbage, whatever. That's not happening in God's economy, and you don't even think that that's going to happen. You know better than that. You wouldn't even do that for your own child yourself. You just told them to make up their bed, and you've already told them 700 times to make up the bed every day on their own. But yet they want to go to the fair and get some cotton candy and some candy apples. They want their favorite dessert. They want their favorite Happy Meal. Well, if you're a good parent, you're just not going to give it to them until they learn how to make their bed up. Otherwise, you are a terrible parent. And they will eventually know that. And they will use your failure as a parent and raise their children right. when their child refuses to make the bed, they're going to be a better parent than you because they learned from you not to do that. Because father knows best. Parents know better than the children. That's how God set it up. So God knows best. Our Heavenly Father knows best for us. And I don't know where you get the idea God's going to bless you and give you this and you're going to be the head and not the tail and all of that. And you're in sin. And you're living in sin. And you're friendly with sin and the devil. That's not working, dear friend. God is not going to bless you like that. Oh, he might let you, might bless you with some food to eat. But these extra special blessings, no sir, no ma'am. Favor, no sir, no ma'am. That's not happening. That's why you don't have any confidence in prayer. That's why you really don't want to pray, because you know every time you pray, you feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty? Because of your sin in your life that you refuse to let go of. And some of you still, under the plague, you have made up your mind, I'm not letting go of that. That's too good to me. That's too good to me. I can't let that go. And you've already made up your mind. That's why you don't pray. That's why you don't feel anything when you pray. That's why God is not answering your prayers. That's why you don't even want to hear about prayer, other than you calling everybody in the world, asking them to pray for you, when God is not going to hear their prayers for you either. Other than convicting you, that's why you're feeling all dirty and convicted, because somebody's praying for you. And God is trying to get you to do right so that he can bless you, and so that you can pray for yourself. But you don't want that, because you love darkness more than you love light. You love ungodliness more than you love righteousness. You love Bo Peep more than you love doing the right thing before God. You love Sylvia more than you, that side piece, more than you do God. And that's why your prayer life is shot. That's why you haven't gotten a prayer through in 5 years. That's why you don't feel good about prayer. You're not eager to pray. You don't want to pray. Because, see, you want to pray and still have your way. And God is not into that. That's not happening. I just told you, I pointed out to you how that this is all about God. It's not about you. Never has been about you. How could it be? And this is the confidence that we have in him. Boom. Him. That if we ask anything according to his will, his, he heareth us. It's all about him. How can it be about you? If he doesn't move, there's nothing happening for you or anybody you're praying for. You see, ladies and gentlemen, prayer keeps a Christian in the will of God. That's if the Christian cooperates. And living in the will of God keeps the Christian in the place of blessing and service, and where he can pray and get his prayers answered. And see, you're mad at other Christians because it appears that they have peace and joy in their lives, and they get their prayers answered, but you don't, because you have a secret sin, a besetting sin, a weight. See, your friends don't know about that at the church, but you do. Now, one or two discerning Christians may know about what you're doing because they can tell, but you haven't told anybody. Some of you are sick right now because of sin in your life. And sin that you, listen to me, sin that you have not confessed. You're sick. And you refuse to confess your sins to God. Or you will confess it to God, but you call the elders of the church and say, "Pastor, please pray for me. Here's what I need for you to pray for. I'm sick and I need your prayers." Now, God is interested in raising you up. He can raise you up if it be his will. But you refuse to come clean and become transparent and confess not only your sins to God, but to the elders of the church. You don't want them to know. You just want to bother them and almost put them in their grave, bothering them every day because you want them to pray for you. But you're not willing to confess your sin that put you in this situation in the first place. Dr. Wurzby said, "We are not beggars. We are children coming to a wealthy father who loves to give his children what they need." Not always what they want, because he is a good, good father. Some of you get huffy and puffy when God does not give you what you want, and it takes about 3 or 4 years to realize, "Whew, thank the Lord he didn't give me that. Oh, thank you, Jesus." You look back and say, you look back as the old saints used to say, and you wonder how you got over. "Oh, thank you, Lord, for not giving me that man. Look at him. He done murdered his wife and killed himself. That would have been me. Oh, Lord, thank you." How many funerals we have gone to of people that we almost got involved with. And we come out of the church, "Whew, Lord, thank you. Amen. Lord, thank you for..." "Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like that. Ooh, I'm so glad I didn't get involved with him. I'm so glad I didn't get involved with her. He looks so cute. She looks so fine and so beautiful. Man, I just tell you, she's a mad woman." They said she walked in the room while he was asleep and took a hammer and a railroad spike and nailed it in his skull. My soul, I'm so glad I didn't marry her. Boy, you talk about a Jezebel. Lord, thank you for delivering me from that fine woman. I tell you, woo, I almost married that woman. See, God is protecting you, and here you are. You mad at God, and you huffy, and you're puffy about the blow of why did he marry her? Why did she marry him? You'll find out in about 3 or 4 years, or less than that. Though he was God in the flesh, Jesus depended on prayer. Though he is God in the flesh, Jesus depended on prayer. He lived on earth as we must, in dependence on the Father. He arose early in the morning to pray. Watch this. Though he had been up late the night before healing the multitudes, he sometimes spent all night in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed with strong crying and tears. On the cross, he prayed 3 times. If the sinless Son of God needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? And we don't pray like that to this day, many in the church. That's why we're in one of the main reasons why we're in the mess we're in right now under this plague. In case you don't know, the official count was almost 4,500 dead from the coronavirus plague. And now Dr. Fauci is talking about today more places that he doesn't want to see you go. The news is reporting today that America has its own new mutation and strain. And it's worse than the British strain and the South African strain. Then Brazil got their own strain. I tried to tell you people, way back when the vaccines were coming out, everybody was all excited about the vaccines. We got 2 and 3 and 4 vaccines. I told you then that God did not show me that this thing was going to end just because of the vaccines and all of that. Even with the vaccines, it's not going to end. And the reason why it's not going to end is because the plague was sent by God against the church. The great and wonderful American church. Not God's remnant, not God's 7,000, but the church that has turned her back on God and Jesus. I warned you for 10 to 12 years that God was lovingly, mercifully, slow-rollingly bringing judgment against the church and against America. And here we are. And I don't care if they come up with 10 vaccines. This is not going to end until the church humbles herself, prays, seeks God's face, and turns from her wicked ways and repents and gets back. And I add this part right here, and gets back to Jesus, their first love, because that's what Jesus wants. Jesus made it very clear, because I love you, I rebuke and chasten you. And I want you to understand, and some of you say, well, this plague is something else. This coronavirus, man, it's no joke. It broke down a CNN reporter last night to almost down, broke her down almost to the ground. She bless her heart. She was reporting a story about this daughter who lost her father and her mother within 11 days and had to try to have the funeral in a parking lot. It took her almost to her knees, and she's a tough cookie. Miss Seidner, that's her name. She's been all over the world, and with bullets are flying and everything else. And this right here, this is the first time. One time she was in a riot, and she got hit with a rock herself. And that didn't make her cry. I marvel at some of these strong women who, they're not afraid of anything. Some men are afraid of places. Bless her heart. But this right here took her down, almost took her down to her knees. While she was on air, she bent over. She couldn't take it. She started crying. It was too much. People are dying by the thousands. I said over 4,000, right at 4,500 souls went out into eternity yesterday. I think that if there ever was a time to pray, that time is now. Because things are getting worse, and they're going to get worse. I tried to tell you that. People, just like they didn't listen to the prophets in the Bible. They don't listen to prophets today. They didn't listen to Jesus Christ. They crucified him and killed him. They killed all the prophets. That's one of the things I don't care about too much, being a prophet. Because I know I'm going to probably get killed and thrown in a dungeon, but that's all right. There's great joy in obeying God and obeying Christ. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing about prayer is the will of God. It's all about Him, what He wants. Not what we want, what He wants. See? And if you're truly saved and born again, you are okay with what He wants. Because you know He wants the best for you. And it's a slap in God's face when you are not okay with what He wants. Because you're saying that he does not have your best interest at heart. It shows a lack of faith. You know why some of you are so miserable? You don't have any faith in God. You're not happy about, excuse the bad English, but you're not happy about nothing. You're not joyful about anything. You're not content about anything. You're miserable and you're worried because you don't have any trust in God. You don't have any faith in God. And therefore, you don't pray to God because you don't have any faith in God. You're worried because you don't have any faith in God. You're miserable because you don't have any faith in God. Your marriage is shot to hell because you don't have any faith in God. You don't feel comfortable. You don't feel at peace in your own marriage and family life. You know why? Because you don't trust God. You don't have faith in God. You don't believe God. And you must believe in God if you want your prayers answered. If you want to have peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable. That's number one, man. It's all about Him. And it is a slap in His face when you want it to be about you and your will. And you get mad and huffy and puffy with God, bitter and resentful against God and everybody else. And so, folks, we must take time to ascertain what God's will is in a matter, especially searching in the Bible for promises or principles that apply to our situation. I'll tell you something else. Before you do a thing, you better have peace about that thing. If you try to move forward, and as soon as you try to move forward in your will and what you want, and stuff start getting messed up on the inside, you don't feel quite right. You feel kind of jittery about it. There's some kind of pain that comes along that tells you, no, don't do that. Don't marry him. Don't marry her. Don't go with them. Don't do that. Stop running with the wrong crowd in the church. Yeah, there's a wrong crowd in the church too. That's right. So many good, young, sweet Christians have messed up their lives messing with the devil crowd, the devilish crowd in the church. Whole life messed up. Mm-hmm. You better have peace about that thing. Now, let me help you. If you're saved and you try to move forward in your will and not God's will, there's going to be trouble in your soul and in your spirit. Boom. That's all. That's it. Unless you have been seared with a hot iron and you're not sensitive to God or you're not listening to God. You're just going to do what you want. Once we know the will of God, we can pray with confidence and then wait for Him to reveal the answer. And that's another thing. Notice the word wait. 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 You have to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord. Why do I need to wait on the Lord? Because it is all about the Lord. It's not about you. It is all about His will, not yours. And so therefore, you have to wait on Him. And He has good reasons to make you wait. And it's all right if you trust in Him and you depend upon Him and you have not knocked Him off of the throne of your heart and put yourself on there. Your self-worshipping, devilish person you. Someone said the other day, people have gone so deep into idolatry that they are worshipping themselves. I said, wow. I said, oh man, you got something. Back in the day, they had totem poles, and they would build a calf and all of that. And now people are, their idol is themselves. And I believe that. I see it every day. Even throughout the plague, people are just spending thousands of dollars and hundreds of dollars changing the way God made them. Men and women, they're worshiping themselves. You have to wait on the Lord. Be patient and trust in Him, because it's all about Him and it's according to His will. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we praise You and we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, and for the privilege and the power and the purpose and the peace of prayer. Thank You, Lord, little by little, here, a little, there, a little. Lord, You are teaching us more and more to pray and how to pray. And grant us, I pray now, Your grace and strength and the power of Your Holy Spirit to take heed to Your holy word and to pray, to wait on You, to trust in You, to depend upon You, to pray according to Your will and not ours, and Lord, then to learn how to pray without ceasing. And so, Holy Father God, even throughout the remainder of this night, help us to pray. Help us to seek Your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and help us to repent and get back to You, our first love. Revive us again and give us a revival of prayer in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. But first, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws just as I have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die because we're sinners. We have a sinful nature and we have chosen to sin and to do evil in God's sight. And it is the tragedy of all of history, the sin of mankind against God. We have done evil in God's sight. And we all know that we must pay a price. Part of that price, and it's tragic, it's hard, is death. We do not die because of the coronavirus disease. We do not die because of cancer. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave, our souls go to hell, to spend eternity. God is loving and God is merciful, but God does not play. You must understand that. Jesus is loving. He did everything He could to save us from hell, but Jesus does not play. They don't play when it comes down to sin against them. And hell is a very real place. It's not a figment of your imagination. There's no in-between. There's no limbo. There is no purgatory. Is heaven or hell? Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Why? Because He loves us. And He does not want you to miss what He has done for you to save your soul from hell. So hell is a real place. Jesus Christ preached one time and described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That means that hell is a place of pain and torment. In another place, Jesus Christ talked about how that hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In another place, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body. Don't fear somebody who can murder you, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He was meek and lowly and loving. He helped everybody. He tried to help everybody. In the sense that he did help everybody, he chose to help. He did not heal everybody when he was here, but he healed those who were sick that he was directed to heal. He raised the dead. He could have healed everybody. He could have raised everybody from the dead. He walked on the water because he made it. He loved everybody, and he loves everybody. But he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, more than most preachers today. And he preached on hell to warn us of where we're going if we don't believe in him. So hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said these words. Yes, he preached on hell, but he said the most loving words known to mankind in the history of the world when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It is not complicated, my dear friends. It is not difficult. It is not hard. God and Jesus made it very simple for us. It was hard for them. Very hard. Extremely hard. The hardest thing ever done in the world. But they did it because they love us. Just follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ and get saved today. Jesus Christ said that whosoever believeth in him. The word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth, believeth means to have faith in, to trust in him. Should not perish. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In other words, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul tonight, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. Simple belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Call on his name. Let him know that you want him to be the Lord of your life and your Savior, and pray and ask him to do that. And he will save you, even tonight. You do not have to be in a church building to get saved. Never, never, never. Jesus did not say that. You do not have to be in a beautiful cathedral to get saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. The thief on the cross did not get baptized. And Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's what you want Jesus to say to you tonight. That when you die, you will be with me in paradise. That's all that matters. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to do great work for the Lord to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher. You don't have to give a $1,000 seed offering to get saved. It's not about the money. You don't have enough money anyway for this salvation. Just be humble, admit that you're a sinner, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to save your soul from hell and save you to heaven, and he'll do it. He's more eager to do it than you're to do what you're supposed to do. That's the beautiful thing about it. God loves us so much. If you just look to Jesus and believe in him, he's got you. So, dear friend, do that tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray with me the sinner's prayer that I mentioned to you earlier, and mean it from your heart. The sinner's prayer is just an expression of what is in your heart and what you're doing, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. If you're willing to do that, if you're doing that right now, pray with me the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and get saved tonight. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have committed some of those sins that the preacher talked about tonight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart, Lord Jesus, that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for my sins as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. I believe that you were buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book free of charge titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.